Have you heard about the controversies with the Clinton family, with yourself over the years?
I don't know a lot about it, but whether for reasons real or imagined, everything connected with Clinton seems to become controversial in some fashion. And what I mean by that is, you know, the right really hates the Clintons in the U.S. Okay. So they make something out of anything, no matter what the Clintons do. And, you know, and then sometimes the Clintons have their own, you know, seem to create their own hot water with some of their stuff. Most obviously, famously, some of Bill Clinton's, you know, misbehavior as president in office on a personal level. But, you know, even as they came into, as he came into office, you know, there were controversies, real or imagined, that became the subject of that lengthy special prosecutor investigation on any number of things, which...
Well, it was sort of like the cover-up in 1996 about what was going on.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, if the information had come out in 1996, would he have won the election or not? I mean, that was sort of made the real issue was that.
Yeah, so back to your question about the Clinton Foundation. I don't know that much about any the controversies, but I'm absolutely not surprised that there are controversies.
Well, one thing was that when Clinton didn't win the presidency in 2016, supposedly kind of there wasn't a lot of donation to the Clinton Foundation, because there was the accusations were like it was people were giving a donation to actually access. I mean, she was Secretary of State under Obama, and then they were hoping she would become president. In fact, for a lot of 2016, it looked like she was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
So the accusation...
Well, pretty much right up until the last week.
I guess so, but...
I mean, it was close. It always is, but...
And then there was also that, did part of the Clinton Foundation money go for the wedding of their daughter? Mm-hmm. And so on. And actually, there's been, it seems that there has never really been, some people just felt that there has not been a complete, they haven't been above board in their information and in their transparency.
Yeah.
In fact, here's Wikipedia itself. Around 2007, as early as that, the Clinton Foundation was criticized for the lack of transparency. The other thing is about the money for Haiti. Like, they had these trailers.
Mm-hmm.
They said mold-infested trailers and so on for Haiti. So, I mean, it's over $2 billion they've been raising. So
that's a lot of money.
I know, and that's sort of why it's been sort of controversial, as it were. I mean, and as I said, it's it has not really. I don't know. It has not. There was something here. I misplaced something here. Anyway, no. I mean, there have been things. So it's still around. Okay. Oh, this is what I wanted to say.
Okay.
a scam exposed. Donation to Clinton Foundation plummeted after Clinton lost the election. So here was one credible source, which I had read. So the donations evaporated. But the most glaring indictment of the Clinton Foundation came from what happened in 2017 after Hillary Clinton lost the election. And, you know, it dropped from 216 million, 16 to 26 million, 26 million 2017, a stunning 88% fall. So, anyway. So, I don't know.
Well, that seems to often be the case with a lot of those sort of political connected foundations, because, of course, one of the ways of, I mean, they're not bribes because they're not going to the individual, right? It's not, but, you know, one of the ways of sort of currying favor of with someone like a Clinton who's in, you know, in power or close to power or has access to power is, of course, to, you know, support things like their foundation, you know, and you can give money to the foundation and now you're a friend of that person. I mean, some similar things have happened with the Trudeau Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
It came up and there was some, I don't know who it was. I think it might have been connected somewhat to the...
The We Foundation. Wasn't We?
Well, that was another one, right?
That's another one they were...
You know, but, you know, where I think it was something... It was something connected to the Chinese interference where it became a controversy because the Trudeau Foundation, which is not, you know, which is separate from Justin Trudeau, but, you know, it's his father's and the family foundation, you know, was getting some money from some Chinese-connected individual, which then seemed to be connected to some of the election interference that was going on, and of course this became a big controversy, you know, as the opposition parties.
But it was the We
Foundation. Yeah.
It was the We Foundation. It was that him and his mother were getting large speaking fees.
Right.
And, you know, and Margaret Trudeau was of the Sinclair family. I mean, is that Eaton's? I don't know. But no, I mean, she was well-to-do before marrying Pierre Trudeau, and
yeah,
it's sort of seen as not that good for her to be getting a speaking fee. I mean, I don't, why can't she do it but for free or something? I don't know. That was the thing about that one.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Clinton Foundation, more controversies. Was there anything else around that?
Well, there was under Trump, there were the feds actively investigating Clinton Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And there were, I guess that sort of just petered out. But it sort of seemed like they don't ever seem to really 100% put you at an ease.
Mm-hmm.
One feels like it always feels, well, you're saying these are false allegations, but it's always like they say, well, that's because our political or opponents have been against us. But one doesn't really feel that it's been, 100% they've been cleared of the charges or whatever.
All right. We're going to take a quick look at the weather here for Vancouver this week. If you've been outside this morning, it's a beautiful day out there. Kind of a nice surprise.
It's a bit cold, Magnus.
Okay, well, it's a nice day with a bit of light cloud up there. I don't know if I'd go so far as to say it's cold. It's cool out, which isn't always a bad thing. It's going to be a mix of sun and cloud and 30% chance of showers today. Highs up to 12, which is not that warm. Lows down to 6 degrees overnight with more showers. Tomorrow is going to be a mix of sun and cloud up to 12 degrees, but doesn't look like there's going to be rain, and then that's going to improve a bit more through the week. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are all going to be sunny days, edging upwards towards highs of 16 degrees Friday. But then Friday night looks like the clouds roll in, and the weather cools off and the showers come as well, because pretty much a 60% chance of showers each day through the weekend. And that's our 7-day forecast. So take advantage of the sun this week while you can. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, get out and enjoy it as much as you can, because it's going to be a wet weekend. All right, well, a wet weekend isn't a bad thing for gardens, nor is a bunch of sun. We're back with Gardening with Embark with Pablo Vimas, and We're going to lighten things up a bit from our previous conversations on the show with our gardening talk, but we're still going to talk about pests. Pablo's going to tell us about some of the pests you're going to find in your garden and what you can do about them, which doesn't always work out well for the pests. So anyway, here's a Gardening Embark, my conversation with Pablo Vimas.
Welcome, Pablo. Pablo Vimas of Embark Sustainability Society. We're here to talk about gardening. And which week is it now?
We are on week 17.
Week 17.
Yes.
Getting through the year. I guess that's like one third of the way through the year.
Correct. Yeah.
All right. So last week we talked about watering. The watering is just one of many gardening maintenance tasks that people need to be thinking about and keeping on top of.
Yes.
So what else do they need to worry about?
So besides watering, we also need to keep an eye on all the pests and diseases that will come as plants start to grow, the weather start warming up, and as well the humidity that we create by giving water to the plant or by the rainfall. So the success to keep all the pests in lower populations is to be a good janitor, which means to keep things around our garden tidy and clean. And particularly, we have a big problem with the slugs. I think everybody have complained with the slugs. They are little creatures that come around 5 o'clock, so that is a good time to visit the garden. Usually I visit the garden and at that time and I pick those slugs that I see that are crawling up to the main garden beds or just start eating the plants. So that's the time. And there is, what I do is usually have a scissors with me. So I just snip the slugs and I leave the bodies there for the other living insects, living things that are in the garden to benefit from that slug. Yes, it might be too heavy for you, for people who's gardening. You might collect them and put them in the composter or just place them somewhere else that you think that they won't come back to your garden, which is sometimes is quite difficult because they managed to have their way back.
They move slow, but they're determined.
Yes, they are back. So that's the other thing is that we also have heard about trapping. You can put some traps, usually a bit of beer in a can, and you hope the slugs follow the smell of the beer. They will drop in there and they will drown. But yeah, what also I suggest to do is to put a piece of a wooden plank and around the garden, and almost every day you go and lift that, and underneath you will have slugs or any insect that like to have the dark to stay up during the day, to hide during the day. So that's another way to trap them without having to use any liquids in the garden, because sometimes we have neighboring pets come and visit. We have children visiting the garden, so we don't want that to be affected there. So that's what the slugs.
Are there any tricks you can use just to sort of to deter them, or is really just scooping them up your best bet?
I think for my practice is just scooping them out. Yeah, is the best way to control. Which as well brings us to. We as a gardener should visit our garden plot once a week, at least once a week. So it's another thing that, which by being a good janitor, we go out to the garden to see, let's see if there is any pests around. And then we control those pests manually. Right. Other thing that will come up is the aphids, those little green things, green insects eating the sap from the plants. And what I usually do, I just go out, look underneath the leaves, And if I see something, just squish them with my hands. Yeah. That is the best way to control until the population gets out of hand. And then we have to go through insecticidal soap, or we can make our own soapy water at home, give it a shower to the leaves. But this is, if it rains, all the soap will be washed away. So we need to reapply. So it's a constant thing to keep going.
How long will it take to get rid of the aphids? How many treatments might you need to do?
The one treatment is squish them if you see them. If the population is out of hand, you can use soaping water. And the other thing that you can use as well is diatomaceous earth. This is quite a very edgy kind of sand that gets into the body of the insects, cutting mm-hmm. and slicing. And so those the insects kind of move. And once they're cut, their skeleton is broken and they start just spilling their insides. Yeah, so that's with aphids. As well, there is lots of good experiments to do, such as placing a yellow cap with a yellow cap covered with Vaseline. So it seems that these little aphids are attracted to the yellow color, and they approach to this yellow cap and they get stuck by the Vaseline.
then you can see that they're there.
Yeah, this is a trap. Yeah, and of course you will be clean the cup, yellow cup, once a week, and reapply Vaseline to keep that being useful. Another thing that has come to my mind is cutworms, little caterpillars, gray color. Mm-hmm. Usually they are in the ground, at ground level. When they are disturbed or they turn into a C, they coil into a forming a letter C. So those ones as well are the ones to be careful because once we put our seedlings, these caterpillars will enjoy our seedlings, particularly the stems, the young stems, and the leaves. If you will see damage of the plant, is just look around, dig a bit in the ground, look it between the leaves, and pick them up. And either put in the compost, which later that caterpillar will turn into a moth, which will lay eggs, and the eggs will be laid on the leaves. And we have bagged the caterpillars in the garden. So we decide to keep them, knowing that they're going to come back as a moth and lay eggs, or we just simply cut the life cycle of the butterfly, of the moth, and just dispose those little caterpillars in a soapy water, kind of they drown, or just... If there are some birds around, feed them too. Why not?
Yeah, great. So it seems like it really pays to be really familiar with your garden and just keep a close eye on your plants for any of the kind of damage these creatures create.
Yes. Yeah. So that, as I said, visiting once a week at the garden, but that visit has to be one-to-one with plants. It's not just you get there and say, oh, walking through the garden, that's it. No, it's better to, as I said, go and say hi to the plants, go and touch them, hug them, and get up close, and then you can see, oh, there is here damage, who is eating it? And that leads us later to as well to understand which kind of insects live in our garden, and which kind of pests are these. And once we get familiar with the pests, with the symptoms, we can best address the how to take care of the plants and get rid of those pests.
Excellent. Well, that's some great advice, especially at this time of year when the bugs are making their reappearance everywhere.
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for these great tips today, Pablo.
You're welcome. And don't forget, time to visit the garden, time to stay out and enjoying the Even if it rains, sometimes it's quite good too, because we will see that earthworms are coming out. And if there are no earthworms, you may wonder why there are no earthworms, because the soil is all soaked with water and earthworms should be looking for a dry space.
Terrific.
All right.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Tell us a bit how to find out more about Embark.
Embark can be, you can visit our website, embarksustainability.org, or our social media channels at Embark Sustain.
Great. Thank you so much, Pablo Vimas of Embark Sustainability Society. We'll be back next week with more great tips on how to make your garden grow.
Certainly. Thank you.
Thanks to Pablo Vimas of Embark. The Embark Sustainability Society runs a couple gardens, community gardens and learning gardens here at the SFU campus. And Pablo is their gardening manager, so he really knows his stuff when it comes to getting food out of the ground. We sometimes benefit from that when they have a bit of excess harvest and they come around drop some stuff off for us here at the radio station, which is really nice. This week in Vancouver, some bands coming to town. 80s stalwarts, the Violent Femmes, are playing at the Commodore Ballroom on Saturday evening. Infect is playing at the Red Room on Saturday and Sunday on Richards Street Youth Fountain at the Rickshaw Theater on Thursday, May 2nd. This is the Violent Femmes from their... I think it's their debut album, I believe, actually. Blister in the Sun. As I say, they're at the Commodore this Friday, or the next Saturday night. Violent Femmes there at the Commodore Ballroom this Saturday night. All right, we're just about out of time here on Speak Up. We actually do have a few minutes left coming up today. Right immediately following us here on CJSF 90.1 FM is Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. That'll be up at 11 o'clock. Coming your way at 12 noon is Wandering Rhythms with Nick Legacy. Your weekly trip around the world, around the musical world, with one of our most knowledgeable hosts. Daniel Vass is up at 2 o'clock with his open mic show. He's also our brand new production coordinator here at CJSF, which is great for us and great for him. Congratulations to Daniel on joining our team of coordinators here at CJSF. You'll can expect to be hearing some of his production work soon. And up at 3 o'clock is Typically Tuesday with Leslie Wang, your weekly mix of music and musings from Leslie. Lots more coming up on the throughout the rest of the evening too. So keep your dial turned right here to CJSF, and don't go anywhere. So Peter, what are you going to talk about next week with us?
Oh, the linen. The Lyndon LaRouche.
Lyndon LaRouche, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about it. But I used to attend meetings of the LaRouche meetings.
Who is Lyndon LaRouche? Very quickly, like a 1 minute. Who is this guy?
He ran for president from 1976 to about 2012. He died 2019.
Yeah.
And he tried for the Democratic ticket, and he failed. And he would run as an independent, and there were some, I think, valid platforms, ideas in the organization, but there were also problems with how the aggressive fundraising,
yeah,
and which I witnessed, actually. But it wasn't. I think they're sometimes unfairly.
Right.
Like, for example, one thing that they said with the Queen of England was involved with the drug trade. Well, what they were saying was
I've never heard that one.
in high finance, which now King Charles, I guess, is involved with, they kind of know that part of the funding is going towards.
Right.
They may not be able to stop.
I suppose there's always the open war in China where the British Empire. Anyway, that's a whole other story, but
yeah, but no,
started war with China to preserve their opium trade.
Well, some of their they were critical of the World Bank, the IMF, how it was being run.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of valid things. It was just that sometimes. He was in jail for 5 years. He was in jail from 1989 to 1994.
Cool.
So he was actually with Jim Baker. They had this, you know, of Tim and Tammy Baker.
Oh, yeah, that's a whole other ball of wax there.
I mean, I probably won't say much about that, but they were together as cellmates for a while.
All right. Well, next week I'm really hoping to have an interview with someone about what's been going on down at the Crab Park homeless encampment. There's been a lot of stuff happening there. Of course, you may know that the encampment is... based on a court decision, Canada's only legally sanctioned encampment. And over the last few weeks, the Parks Board has been doing what they call sort of kind of a cleanup operation, making everyone move from one part of the camp to somewhere else before they can move back. But a lot of the folks in the camp and the advocates are very unhappy with how things have been going and feel it's almost more of a decampment or a sort of stealth elimination of the camp. We'll see. We're hoping to have an interview, talk a bit more about that from someone from the encampment side, one of their supporters. So hopefully we'll have that for you next week. And in the meantime, we have a lot more great programming coming up here on CJSF. Thank you for tuning in today. Joining me today has been Peter R.H.
Yeah.
Sorry we couldn't bring you Stephen Fan today, but I think he'll be here next week with an interview and another arts review. All that more here on CJSF. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back next week.
Homelessness is a lot like musical chairs. Except not with chairs.
When the music stops, more than 250,000 Canadians, many of them children, don't have a home.
But if we act right now with urgency, we can fix it.
Don't let homelessness assumptions get in the way of homelessness solutions. Go to CanadaCanDoIt.ca.
Help the Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness.